Welcome to the Podcast of the Apes, a Planet of the Apes fan podcast with your hosts, Mark, Dan, and Brody.
Welcome to the Podcast of the Apes, Planet of the Apes fan podcast. I'm your host, Mark, and with me,
Dan
and Brody.
And we are back. It's been a hot minute since we actually sat down and done this.
When was the last time we recorded?
Pre-COVID.
Yeah, pre-COVid.
Oh. And I did a few.
Not much has happened since then.
Oh yeah. let's see. What I did a few standalone comment, like my COVID and coffee commentaries. I did a handful of those. That's kind of about it. I mean, everything kind of came to a grinding halt, and life happened.
Yeah,
it's been crazy. Here we are now in the year 2024, and we've got a new Planet of the Apes movie. And the last year, I have been inundated with emails from people wanting us to come back, asking, are we coming back for the new movie? And we're like, I guess we should probably talk about it. We should probably do this.
A reunion tour, if you will.
Yeah. I don't know how long the reunion tour is going to last.
Bringing the band back together.
Yeah. This is so weird. I mean, when we started this, Brody, you were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what, 16, 17-ish?
My age or the year?
When you started, your age when we started this. You
were probably about 16. 16 or so.
And you're how old now?
27.
27?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, gosh. So,
man, that's making me feel old.
Tell me about it. I mean, I guess, Brody, you've probably had the most. I mean, you went from a high schooler. We were recording, I think, when you were in college.
Yep.
And then after a couple of years of that, I
got out of the madhouse, so to speak.
Yes, and you went into...
plumbing and pipe fitting.
Yes. And you're now a fully qualified journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
And
working on my state license and proud homeowner now.
Brody has his own home. Yeah. I think when I was doing my solo commentaries, I think that was right around the time you'd moved, because I think I remember mentioning. Yeah,
that was when I moved into the apartment, but that was right before.
No, I think you even moved. What year did you move into?
22.
I did a couple of them in 22, standalones.
Gotcha.
I think. That sounds about right, because that was right around when COVID was starting to taper off, and I'd occasionally sit down and do that. So, like, if you take Columbus, Ohio, the city we're based out of, I live up north.
We
Dan stays in the west, and Brody is now far east.
Yeah, we literally form a triangle around the city. So
yes.
Kind of like the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, watch out if you're in the Columbus area.
I think I'm the only one that's inside the Columbus proper. I'm actually a Columbus resident. You guys are suburbanites. You're in the west suburbs, and yeah, are you even a suburb technically? I mean, mm-hmm. You're like almost a city. You're so far east.
No, it's about the hill you're
climbing. Okay, all right. Cool. Other than that, I mean,
it's Birdiesville.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, since the last time I recorded, I think I'm still working the same job. Been to Europe a couple times since then.
Yeah.
Brody, you got to go with me once.
Yep, it was my birthday this year.
Yep.
In January, I got to go to London. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Dan, your life is really, you've had a lot of changes in your
life. I was going to say, mine's Bummersville compared to what you two are getting. You guys,
yeah,
it's been a trip. You know, I know, like in one episode of the original podcast of the Apes, you know, there was the announcement that I got married. Well, didn't quite work out.
It happens. It happens.
So here I am, and still in the same house.
Yeah.
But hey, we do have this. Work in progress, new studio.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is really inspiring me to come back and do more of these.
Oh, that's very nice.
Really like this.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys can't see this room, but I was thinking of putting up some Planet of the Apes movie posters, you know, and give it a real good, you know, good atmosphere that we could record again.
Yeah, and maybe one of these days, maybe even if we really like this, maybe get some cameras and do some, like, apparently there's this thing like YouTubing.
Yeah.
Since the last time we've done this.
Well, I think that was a thing back when we did it. I think it was a thing then.
Now, you know, yeah. Podcasting on YouTube is kind of a thing. And
here we come, Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, a friend of mine and I have a video podcast on Rumble, which is kind of like a, you know, YouTube wannabe.
Right.
Called Game Time.
Oh, so, there you go.
It's retro gaming. We actually only recorded two episodes so far, but anyways, you know.
So I guess.
A little plug there, sorry.
No, it's all right. So I guess we'll just dive right on in. One of the reasons we're here is we have a brand new movie coming out, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And we wanted to kind of jump in here before the movie came out. We're still a couple weeks away. I mean, ideally, we would have done this sooner and had like a couple months to really talk about it, but that's okay. There really hasn't been much. There's been a trailer, and maybe because I'm staying so spoiler-free, I've seen the trailers. That's about it. I'm really staying away from everything else.
Yeah, I read one article about it, and it didn't really give a lot of information that
would
give away anything.
I don't remember. And then again, I think we kind of went spoiler free in the new movies. I don't remember us because we would do prediction podcasts.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got some stuff right and some stuff really wrong. So.
Yeah. Those were good shows. Predictions kind of then we could afterwards look back and say, okay, there's where we got right and there's where we got it wrong.
Well, let's start with the trailer. I think I first saw it when Godzilla Minus One came out.
That's when we went and saw that. That's the first time I remember seeing it. Well, we were all together for that.
We were all three of us were together. Yeah. And plus a couple other people were with us. So there was a nice group of five of us when we saw Godzilla Minus One. Although I think I saw it before that, though. Because I remember I'd just seen something else before that. I don't remember what there was something else I might have seen right before Godzilla Minus One, and I probably would have seen it with you, Dan. But it escapes my mind what that could have possibly have been.
The first time I remember seeing the trailer was online.
Oh, I think I did too.
I read that, and then
I saw it on the big screen.
Then I saw it.
Maybe that was Godzilla. Maybe it was on the big screen for anyway. So I guess. Trailer reactions. Brody, I'll start with you.
Well, I mean, I hadn't seen it since the theaters for Minus One, and that's been, what, 3-4 months ago?
Yeah.
The one in the theaters that I saw, was the graphics were, I don't know if it was just like, if it was the theater or the just an early trailer, but the rendering for the apes looked terrible.
I remember you were not a fan.
Yeah, and watching it again on YouTube, it's gotten a lot better. It looks much, much better than the first time, my memory of the first time seeing it. But,
and you, Dan, I mean, is your.
I didn't go delve that deep into critiquing it. Oh. But I mean, for what Brody's right, because. Certain theaters and such, you probably see it in the 4K rendering.
Right.
So you're going to see it a little bit differently than, say, on a computer screen or phone. So when I saw it, there was a big difference. I will agree with Brody on that, is that when I saw it on my phone, it looked a little bit cheaper than when I saw it before, Godzilla. But I mean, it had some awesome scenes. I will tell you that, Hawk or something
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Now, story-wise, Brody, does it look intriguing? Are you at least, is your interest piqued?
Yeah, I mean, I'm at least interested to see what they're going to do with it.
It looks like it takes place, and from what I understand, one of the few things, because I'm pretty spoiler-free, it looks like it's quite a few hundred years in the future mm-hmm. after war. Which is what I kind of thought it would be.
Yeah, it looks like the proto-humans again, or they're all in the rough rags like the first right. movie. I don't know how I feel about, like, there's something that was nice about the old movies, the first trilogy of the new era mm-hmm. trilogy, where I think they were aided by, like, the apes not talking a lot.
Right.
Because it looks really weird.
See, and that's the other thing. Watching the Planet of the Apes, if they were going to keep doing this, we knew this is where it was headed.
Yeah.
Especially if there was a time jump. The apes are going to start talking. And the big thing is, how's it going to look when they're really fluent speakers? And in the trailer, the one that does the most talking, I think, is the leader. I think his name is like Proxima or something. I don't remember. But he does a lot of speechifying. And yeah, it really, that's that, he's up there leading the troops and rant. So it's, I think he's going to be, and some of the other apes speak in other scenes, but they're kind of like action scenes or they're, but him, it's up close and he's yelling into the camera.
And yeah, it just, I don't know what it is. Like just the way that they're tracking
yes.
The mouth movements.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if, cause like, not that I ever give credit to this. So brace yourselves, but uh-oh. The way Benedict Cumberbatch did the voice acting for Smaug.
Right.
Like made it sound like a tone and tenor of like how a dragon might talk, like change. He didn't just talk like a person like we are right mm-hmm. now. It was slow to enunciate, a lot of rolling S's.
Right.
I didn't see a lot of that where, like, even far in the future of, like, ape evolution,
mm-hmm.
you would expect, like, maybe some more primate kind of, like, if there was something closer to, like, the speech patterns they had yeah. in the earlier movies. When it's just the actors talking, like, normal, and it's just the ape superimposed on it, there's something that's just, it doesn't quite, like, line up. It just drug me. It kind of pulled me out of the trailer a little.
Well,
bit.
The original movies, it was pretty much just actors talking through masks.
Yeah, well,
and they didn't do that much affectation.
Yes, but they also didn't have like the manipulation right, of the CGI. Right.
Yes, yes.
It's not that I don't like that they're talking like normal. It's that it doesn't match the like as fluid the of a mm-hmm. face movement mm-hmm. there is.
Because they still look kind of like they're, it's not like they don't seem to have physically have evolved as much. It's not like they're yeah. more upright.
Most of them aren't even clothed either.
Right. Most of them are wearing equipment and little bits of clothing, but it's not like they've physically evolved.
Yeah.
That they're upright and their jaws would like the originals, which I mean, the originals were basically people with mm-hmm. ape masks, but it worked for the movies
yeah.
because they really were ape men.
Yeah.
These are just more.
You felt more like stepping into like an old English society than you would like. Because and that's the other thing is like they speak so formally, but their technology and stuff is like still very primitive.
From what we're seeing.
From yes, what we've seen.
But I don't think it's going to be that much more advanced. Again, it's hard to track. It's a lot of horseback riding, a lot of chasing humans and throwing bolos and ropes and stuff like in the original movie. But.
Well, I will tell you this. A lot of times when they throw trailers together, sometimes it's done before they've, do the final cut, Mm-hmm. Like, example is when Rogue One came out, or was going to come out, I should say. The trailer actually had scenes in it that weren't even in the movie.
The TIE fighter that disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that we might be surprised when we actually see the movie. Mm-hmm. It might be a little bit different.
Yeah.
I see where you guys are going. I kind of disagree a little bit on certain things. Because I think from what I saw in the trailer, it looks like the perfect segue from the original trilogy. I like the original trilogy of the, you know, the reboot. I like the fact that they showed, okay, this is how they started this evolution from just being monkeys and gorillas and all that to starting to be able to speak. And then I like where, you know, they kind of obviously have a gap between the two trilogies because I think it wouldn't have been as good if they just took right off from where they left off.
Right.
I like that. And it looks more like the original, you know, Charlton Heston playing the apes that we grew up with. From what you see, you see that they're not, you know, you don't see them driving around in cars and stuff
right.
Matter of fact, you see just very small, you know, occasions where you'll see like remnants of the, you know, old technology, you know, buildings and such. Yeah.
What you did in Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
The originals.
So I'm really looking forward to it because I mean, it just, to me, it looks like the beginnings of what we knew as Planet of the Apes with the background of now we have an ideal, because like in the originals, you kind of saw the evolution of how they became, you know, but they didn't actually show you how they, you know, what caused them to be able to speak and all that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you went from the third movie where they're just like primates still, and then like in the fourth movie they're upright talking, serving drinks, and
And then the fifth movie, which was only a few years later, society's fallen and all the apes are talking.
Yeah. But I mean, all criticism aside, one of the things that I definitely think is interesting is how much they're going to pull from, because is it the same, any of the same writers or?
Oh, that's a great question. I know it's a completely different director. I think it's a director called Wes Ball. The writing staff.
Because I'm wondering how many of the plot points they're going to utilize from the previous movies. There's definitely some homages to it in the trailer.
Oh, well, if we're going to talk Easter eggs, I mean, this is definitely a continuation from that original trilogy, Rise, Dawn, War. I mean, if you look in the background of the trailer, Caesar's crest from his window, is everywhere.
Yeah, it's definitely been like the symbol of the apes.
Yeah, but to your point, Brody, I'm wondering how much of Caesar's teachings or his philosophy what has been passed on, you know, similar to in the originals, you had, I'm totally blanking on the lawgiver. Is that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Yeah. 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 The lawgiver, the sort of the word of the lawgiver was passed down.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious if in that original trilogy, Rise, Dawn, War, remember Maurice, the orangutan, was kind of their speaker there. And I think they even published, there's even a book out called Maurice's Story, which is the apes' story from his point of view. It's like it's Maurice's journal.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if maybe Maurice's teachings, obviously Caesar will probably be regarded as their great leader. the founder of their society. Maurice may be regarded as a sort of lawgiver, like the legend of Maurice.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to get... what I would be interested to see is, like, because in the first Planet of the Apes movie, the original Charlton Heston, mm-hmm. there was the orangutans and governing, like, body mm-hmm. were very shady. They had a lot of lying and...
Very political.
Very political.
Yeah.
Very manipulative. And yes. The trailer kind of hinted at it.
I'm really... Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet. I'm really curious on how the ape... Because really, they were just a band of... Even in the final movie, the most recent one, War for the Planet of the Apes, they were still kind of banded together as a group. This is going to be hundreds of years later. The apes are ruling the planet. Now we're going to see how their social structures evolve. We'll probably see the orangutans. Are they going to be the politicians? Are the chimps going to be, you know, the scientists? And the
we'll see. So far, the...
And the gorillas being... Although their leader, Proxima, he doesn't look like a gorilla.
What is it?
Almost a bonobo?
Yeah. Well, because that's what... Not
Rocket?
Not Rocket, but...
No.
The second movie.
I'm blanking. Koba.
Yeah.
Was it Koba?
Koba. He was a bonobo. So,
we'll probably get more diverse species of ape, which... Yeah, I'm very curious about.
See if how their society develops around it.
And the humans, I mean, to get to the humans look like they're the savages from...
Like feral.
Like they're supposed to be. Except, I don't know if you noticed, I think there's a woman running around who befriends the main chimp who's in, like, it looks like more modern clothes. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if she's supposed to be, like, the tailor of the group... Yes. Or if, so, because the ship is still out there. If cast your mind back to Rise of the Planet of the
Apes.
That's
what I was going
to
ask.
The Icarus is still out there.
That's right.
Do you think it's the Icarus?
I don't know. I don't know if we're just seeing, so if the Icarus comes back and the crew is slaughtered and all we have is her left over. Because it looks like she's befriending the main, I don't know if he's supposed to be a chimp, but.
Yeah, he was a chimp.
The main character, I think his name's Noah. Played by an actor, Owen Teague, plays him. He's the only actor I know. He was, if you saw the most recent Paramount, I think it was on, no, it was on, well, it was when CBS All Access eventually became Paramount Plus. And there was a miniseries, the Stephen King miniseries, The Stand remake. And he played a psycho on that. He was really good. But apparently I think he's the one that's the main good guy chimp, if you will, Noah. And it looks like he kind of befriends her. But again, in the trailer, I haven't heard her speak.
Yeah.
I don't think she speaks in it. That may be very intentional. Her clothes look different. That's about the only thing I could tell. And they seem to be after her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something happened to her voice, similar to what happened.
Similar to what happened to Taylor. That's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Yeah, because Taylor wasn't able to speak for a big chunk of the movie.
Yeah, we'll see how much that parallels with the original.
Yep.
But I mean, they're starting to get to that point where of the original.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting, anyways, to see how much of that they take. I mean, a lot of the images you see in that trailer reminded me a lot of the original Planet of the Apes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're hoping that this, like Rise, Dawn, and War, it's been a few years, that this becomes its own little trilogy, Kingdom, and because they've got, if they don't use the crew of the Icarus in this one, they've got that storyline to pull from. They've got the mutants from... War of the Planet of the Apes, Woody Harrelson's group, the Alpha and Omega mutants that were buried in the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
With the bomb. They had the symbol from the bomb, the Alpha and Omega.
Right.
His entire group that was in that mountain got buried. I mean, I'm assuming they've been under there this whole time, mutating and getting their own little weird cult. That would make a great movie, maybe this next movie. after this. And maybe there'll be Easter eggs for them.
I would love to see that. That would be great.
That would be freaky as all get out. I have a friend who just, with the new movie coming out, he just now decided to sit down and watch the entire franchise.
Okay.
And Beneath the Planet of the Apes blew him away. He was like, that was the trippiest. He's like, that was a head case.
It's a headache,
I mean, yeah.
One of the noisiest movies I've ever seen.
Oh, when they're mentally attacking him as he's in the sewers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So imagine that on the big screen.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Hearing it in speakers, Dolby. However great 1970s technology was back then. But so I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm watching trailers, and that's about it. I'm really trying to stay away from spoilers. There's not been unlike the previous movies, there's not a prequel novel. There's not a prequel comic book miniseries leading up to it.
It seems like that's been happening a lot, like less and less just across the board. There's not like a lot of like anticipation merch that comes out for movies really anymore.
Honestly, the most recent I can think of is Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. They did a prequel comic and there's a novelization. But even movie novelizations aren't really around. Like all three of did Rise? I don't think Rise had a novelization. Dawn and War had novelizations and prequel novelizations. I've looked on Amazon. I don't really see any tie-in books for this. Mm-hmm. There's no Greg Keyes novelization coming out that I'm aware of. There's nothing pre-ordered for like a novelization of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, let alone there's definitely no prequel because the movie comes out in a couple weeks. Although speaking of comics, since we've last met, Marvel Comics now has the rights to Planet of the Apes, and they've just wrapped up their second miniseries, Beware of the Planet of the Apes, which we can talk about in a future episode. And they did before that, and that miniseries ties into the original movie series from the original movie series.
Oh, okay.
But before that, they came out with a miniseries called The Fall of Man, and that miniseries tied in with Rise, Dawn, and War. So they're kind of, so they've got the rights to the whole franchise. So they're actually kind of bouncing around. I'm assuming they're going to do more Apes comics. I don't know what's coming out, but so there's more comics coming, I'm hoping.
When are we going to get the Mark Wahlberg comic tie-in?
You know what? Who knows? The Tim Burton tie-in.
They did
actually do continuation novels. They did prequel novels. I think we've even talked about when we reviewed that movie.
I bet they're riveting. Commentary.
I've heard they're really good. Most people say they're way better than the movies. The Fall and The Colony. It's his, because remember, Captain Leo Davison left that space station, and the space station crashed on the planet and evolved into the planet. The books chronicle the space station crashed on the planet and the crew, how they survived, how the apes evolved and all that. It's a two book.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. I've heard it is excellent. I've got them both. I need to sit down and read them. And then of course then the movies were going to follow the exploits of Leo, but we saw how that all went. But not a lot of merch coming out for Kingdom though. There's no action figures. There is a popcorn bucket, though. AMC does have a popcorn bucket.
Dear Lord. What anatomical popcorn bucket is this going to be?
I was going to say.
This is not Dune 2.
Yeah, maybe they learned from
that. This is not the head of one of the apes, and you reach down his throat and pull out popcorn. This one's actually, it's not very gimmicky. It looks like just a traditional bucket with Planet of the Apes on it. And it comes with the handle, comes with a clip to it, is a keychain. And on the keychain, it's Caesar's emblem that his little, and this is riveting on sand. I'm trying to pull up a picture just to show the guys here.
So you can hear all of us go, ooh.
Yeah, Brody and I are sitting here watching as Mark
types on it, types on my phone. But yeah, it's a basically an art, or very kind of just an artwork.
Yeah, I just
here's a
that Dune 2
yeah, the Dune 2 bucket, one
that lives rent free in my mind.
Have you seen the Deadpool one that's coming out?
No.
It's Deadpool's head in his and on the mouth, it's the Dune mouth. It's kind of a parody of that. All right, so I'll pass this around. That's the popcorn bucket.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's got like a lid.
Yeah, it's just got a generic lid. It's the Caesar emblem from the original trilogy of the reboot.
Well, if you're listening to this, look it up. And it is really
it's
nice.
Cool. I think I'm going to grab one. I'm totally getting one.
I'll pay $35 for it.
I think it's only $29. Oh. Those damn things are expensive, though. Yeah. I'm not
going
to lie.
Oh, see.
That was
yeah,
cool.
That's a good marketing. You know, there's nothing crazy about it or anything like Dune 2.
Yes, Dune 2. Although my brother has been getting with the newest those Ghostbuster popcorn buckets. Holy cow, those things are insane. It's the ghost trap that opens up. It's got the popcorn.
Well, I was there with you guys when he bought it.
Oh, he
he ever used it?
It's on a shelf on display, which I mean, that's what you do, I guess.
Did he ever find out if it does it do anything? Like, it looked like there may have been some kind of electronics to it.
I know. I don't know. But he collects different ones, so it pays a fortune because he bought the popcorn bucket and the collector cup, and it was, I think he paid about $60. Oh my Lord. For more crappy. But that's another subject. Yeah. But not a lot of Kingdom stuff coming out. I'm hoping, you know, this if it revitalizes the franchise, because I think as Godzilla is proving right now, there are some franchises that are successful. I mean, Godzilla's just using them as an example. They're tied in with the Japanese company Toho. They're doing it right. They came out, Toho, the Japanese arm, came out with a standalone Godzilla movie this past Christmas. Ooh. Which blew up as an independent film. And now Godzilla Kong New Empire has come out and has made a ton of money. It's been extremely popular. Completely different tone. But yet,
for more of the Transformer fan.
More for the classic Showa era Godzilla fan is I prefer to view it.
So, Dan, I don't know how you feel about this, but for me, Godzilla Minus One was like a hair away from being like the best movie I've seen in like a couple of years. The only thing I would say beat it out was Oppenheimer. Mm. I loved that movie.
I haven't seen that yet, but I will tell you, I 100% agree with you on that.
Yeah.
This, you know, that Godzilla movie versus the, you know, Kong and Godzilla movie. Night and day to me.
Okay. For me, I will stand up for Godzilla Kong. I love that movie. It's a complete, this is, again, Godzilla movies can be serious. Godzilla movies can be fun. Godzilla Kong New Empire fell on the fun side. It's, you know, if you like the old series where Godzilla's on a different planet and low gravity dancing, or him fighting the smog monster and he makes himself rocket across. This is more of that kind of a movie.
Dan is short circuiting over here.
I'm all for that. I dig the you know, weird Godzilla kick moves and flying formation kick moves and stuff like that.
And Jet Jaguar.
Then you get into the really bad stuff like Baby Godzilla, you know.
This is not Baby. I didn't think Godzilla versus Kong hit that bad. Like attack, all monsters attack bad.
There's one thing that that really got me about this latest, you know, Kong Godzilla movie.
Okay.
Is that one dude that, you know, he was the one that pulled out Kong's tooth and that.
Trapper.
I did not like that character at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, I mean, you could go back to the what we call the Showa era of Godzilla. There are so many irritating characters then.
He can't, I don't know, I haven't seen it yet. He can't be worse than Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh gosh, have you not seen that movie
yet? No, I haven't seen it yet.
I'm sorry, Brody. Here I am talking about plot points and stuff.
Oh, I do not care, but okay.
I defend you, Godzilla. I defend you.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. Well, to bring it back to Planet of the Apes, one of the things I like about this, the more recent trilogy, and then hopefully it carries into these new movies, is the more serious tone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where it felt like at times with the classic movies, like it didn't take itself super seriously sometimes. Like,
mm-hmm.
like
movies just some of that time did not.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, I was talking to someone the other day, my friend who just now, he's in his 40s, is now seeing these for the classic series for the first time. One thing he liked about the third movie is he sat down, he thought it was going to be like, you know, they're going around town having champagne and dressing up and doing this and that. And he's like, oh, this is the light, fun one, like Star Trek, The Voyage Home. This is the time travel one. This is the fun one. Yeah. And he says, and then boom, it goes dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, yeah, it does. It does.
Right.
I love that movie. I've been watched it recently, like, because it, I don't know if we might have talked about this way back when, like a decade ago. So forgive me if you guys have listened to that review recently, but
probably most people haven't. That's another thing we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
A lot of our older episodes are not available online. So we might
revisit.
I think if we get this up and going, I think we're going to do all the Kingdom stuff and then we're going to just slowly go back and revisit these films.
I have them all on a hard drive.
Okay.
If we ever do want to re-release them,
which now, a lot of people do want us to,
I will tell you, the first few episodes, especially, were not exactly the best audio quality.
Right, and that's those first few episodes is when we're discussing the original, you know, first five films.
Yeah.
So there's some good stuff there. So we'll probably, I mean, if we do new episodes and then we'll do like our throwback episodes, you know, we'll do like classic revisited episodes.
But just on my point of that third movie, it's mm-hmm. the closest to the book, the original Pierre Boulle novel. Right. It, even though it's reversed, it's because it's the apes that arrive back mm-hmm. on Earth, not in modern time, not human jumping forward. But it almost was like point for point how he was the main character, mm-hmm. Ulysses, I think.
Yes. Oh my gosh, good memory.
Was treated in Ape Society. He was more of like a novelty rather than like a criminal, at least mm-hmm. at first. And then he, like, the ape fear grew that he might spread to the other humans.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in that. So I have an appreciation for that movie for that reason. Because the original book, if anyone hasn't read it, you should. It's very good. Not anywhere close to like the action tone of.
Right. I got it was probably 8-9 years ago. Mm-hmm. I got the audio book of it and listened to it and loved it.
Yeah, much more Brave New World than like what you would expect from if you've seen the movies, but very good still.
Yep. Yeah, we'll probably do an episode. We never did do an episode reviewing that, like a proper podcast episode.
That's
of that.
True, yeah.
Because it wasn't, yeah. But we will.
Yeah, I'll have to reread it.
But yeah, so hopefully, yeah, I've got high expectations for it. I think our next episode, it comes out in a couple of weeks. I think our plan is to go see it and then just do an immediate reaction episode and talk about it. The good, the bad, the ugly. We'll see how it does. We'll see how it does in the box office. Because if it does well, I mean, I'm sure they're going to green light more. Because right now it's being co-produced. Because right now, since we've last talked, Disney's bought 20th Century Fox. And right now what Disney does not have is a popular, successful franchise. And they need it.
That is my biggest worry. I have watched... since we last recorded, I have watched Disney burn like almost every franchise from your guys' childhood to the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just it is like the post scene of a war movie. Like the,
you can't disagree with that.
There's just a flaming field of corpses and a pile of franchises that have, they have burnt.
So we'll see if, I mean, this is technically still through the 20th Century Fox arm. So we'll see if that buys them any independence.
Hopefully it does. Because like Sony has made some good Spider-Man movies independent of Disney.
Right, of Disney. Yeah.
So.
Although their most recent Madam Web. Apparently was not.
Well, I mean, everything's just on a slow downward trend right now. That is my biggest, like, I want to be excited, but every time I've been excited for like a popular franchise that's either made a return or had a sequel, I have been burned every time. So I am going into this with wanting to like it, but a large degree of skepticism.
It'd be interesting to see, who is actually producing that? That would kind of be a telling factor of how it's going to go.
I think a lot of the original produce. I could be extremely wrong. I thought for sure some of the original producers are back. I mean, the director and the writer are new.
Well, while you look that up, one of the things I did want to mention because. Mm-hmm. The aesthetic of this, at least a lot of like the landscape shots and stuff, I really liked because it reminded me of a video game that I have a love-hate relationship with, but I really enjoyed playing was Horizon Zero Dawn. I don't know if you've heard of that, Dan.
No, I have not.
You didn't ask me.
I know you haven't.
I thought you were going to say Fallout, but.
Oh, so Horizon Zero Dawn, it's like kind of like. Sort of like a Terminator / Planet of the Apes kind of vibe to it, but it was like primitive humans using like existing in the ruins of a hyper advanced Earth society. So there's like rusted, rotting cars and tanks and skyscrapers that have been like demolished and lost to time. There's jungle areas and. As the game goes on, you find out more and more about like the surrounding areas and what happened, and it's but like seeing the Golden Gate Bridge dilapidated and with all the growth on top of it, very, very similar to that game.
That's cool. Is it almost like a survival game, like where you have to
So there's I'm trying to think. It's kind of like a Far Cry if you've played any of those.
Okay, yeah.
Where it's like resource collection and stuff.
Yeah. I'm playing Conan the Barbarian online, which is similar to that. You basically start off with nothing. You have to learn how to survive in the wilderness, fashion tools and weapons and such. And I love those type of games. But I see what you're saying, though.
Yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn, it's like... There's a bunch of machines that roam around. There's like that live alongside like cattle and other nature, and you harvest them for like pieces of metal to make arrows and stuff. But it gave me that vibe very much. Anyone that's listening that's played that game, you'll know what I'm talking about. Like. And if you haven't, look up some of the landscapes. It's a very beautiful game.
It reminds me of this documentary that I watched where it basically showed what would happen if humans were no longer on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of time-lapsed. It showed, okay, this is what would happen to the cities 10 years, 20 years, you know, it was kind of cool to see, you know, how nature kind of took over, you know, and it showed how animals react and such. But
they kind of did that. And what was that? Was that War for the Planet of the Apes when they went back into San Francisco in just that short time? Just in a short time, how everything kind of overgrew.
Right.
I mean, I know we had just that one. I mean, just locally, we had a local baseball stadium in Columbus, Cooper Stadium. Within years, when that thing abandoned, oh my gosh, it was overgrown within years. I mean, it did not take that long. So yeah, you give several, you know, several hundred years, it would, I bet it would, yeah, absolutely. With nobody around, I think it would, the nature would absolutely just dominate again.
But yeah, I that's one of the things I'm kind of looking forward to, see the background, see like, you know, if there's anything you can pick out. Oh, okay. Kind of like in the originals when they went like underground, you could kind of pick out different monuments or such, you know, and I think that's going to be interesting to see how much detail they get into, you know, little Easter eggs of things past.
Yeah, and it's weird because as little as I've seen of this movie, it's got nearly a 2.5 hour runtime.
Holy moly.
So it's going to be, I don't know how much, hopefully the story and we get to explore the world a little bit in that 2.5 hours.
What? So, before this, what was the longest Planet of the Apes movie?
That's a great question. I don't. None of the originals were ever that long.
Oh yeah, I mean, Battle was like 80 minutes.
Yeah, even the extended cut's not that long. Yeah,
89 minutes.
A lot of the old movies were more like almost like TV show.
And War has to be the longest.
I was gonna say that Kingdom is about 5 minutes longer than War.
Yeah.
War was
two hours 20. Yeah, War was pretty long.
And War was about 10 minutes longer than Dawn. Dawn was 2 hours 10.
Mm.
So, yeah, none of them have... They've all clocked in over 2 hours, except for Rise. Rise of the Planet of the Apes was a quick hour 45.
Well, that was also the smallest budget, the most...
Yeah.
It had the most constraints and...
Mm-hmm. Still a beautiful... That movie holds up, still.
So I just recently rewatched this with my brother and our buddy. Mm-hmm. We hang out and watch old movies.
Old movies.
Oh, well, old movies. I mean, like, he's a big Godzilla... He's a huge Godzilla fan.
Yes.
And we've been watching a bunch of the old Godzilla movies, and I've seen so much Godzilla. More than I've ever wanted to. But we watched the Rise, Dawn, and War, and he loved those movies.
Really?
Oh yeah, and yeah, I was struck by how well they did hold up. Like, even Rise, the graphics are, you can tell a little bit, but they're still really good for as old as that movie is now.
Like, dude, I was watching the original 1993 Jurassic Park. That movie still looks better than a lot of stuff that's out now.
Well, I mean, a lot of that was a lot of that was practical.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. But like the Gallimimus herd when they're in the field.
That was
CG. That still looks better than anything that's out there.
I mean,
a lot of what's out there.
One of the most famous Lord of the Rings, like how that movie just watching the behind the scenes of how Lord of the Rings was made, like it's insane. I don't think many movies to this day have used any of that, have achieved what that movie did, just special effects wise. That thing's what the first one was is now what 20 years old.
Oh, more than that. That was 2001.
2001. So 20. Yeah.
Yeah. It was fall of 2001.
23 years old, and it's like. You watching it now, I would put it up against, it looks better than a lot of the Marvel, so many of the Marvel movies.
Don't set the bar that low, but.
But I mean, you look at what.
What those movies cost.
What the CG costs.
They just released the budget for Ant-Man 3 Quantumania. I think it was $300 million.
Oh, it looks terrible.
And some of the.
And going back to Godzilla. Godzilla, I always get this
minus
wrong.
One.
Godzilla minus one. For some reason, I always say Godzilla minus zero. I don't know why, but I do that. Anyways, a lot of the other production companies are mad because like the budget for Godzilla Minus One was a lot lower than some of these big budget movies.
Like 10, 15 million bucks. That was it.
They totally flopped.
So, I mean, everyone was quoting like that $15 million figure, and then the director came out and said he wished he had that much money. Like, he said that was pretty generous. Heavily inflated.
To be fair, Godzilla has maybe a fraction of the screen time as he does, but when he's on there, and there's a couple of shots where it's like, okay, that's CGI, but to come that close with next to, Godzilla Kong New Empire. I didn't realize this. They slashed the budget for that movie. That movie barely had about $100 million, and most movies double that. And what they were able to do visually with that movie, and that movie's all CGI, they did with a much smaller budget.
Here's the thing about that, too. Godzilla Minus One, you notice that there were a lot of scenes with Godzilla in the daytime.
Yeah.
That's a lot harder to do than say the 2014 when the first of the
that whole movie was in the dark.
It was all in the dark because it's a lot easier
to get away with that stuff.
You get away with it. You don't have to be as detailed. So yeah, Godzilla may not have been in Minus One like that much, but those scenes that he was in took a lot. To produce.
When he's dragging his feet through the city and ripping up sidewalk and tossing bodies around, you're like, holy cow.
The scene where his face gets blown open and then it knits back together.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't understand how that looked so good. Like
the scene where they're in the boat and he's in the water chasing them, you're like, that looks like a model. It moves. I don't know if that's intentional. He doesn't have a lot of movement. It looks like a real giant head that they're dragging behind them, but it's CGI, and it looks 100% real. I mean, it looks like a big giant mock-up head. It's not moving, but it looks like a real practical effect, which is stunning that it's not, but it's...
I will tell you one thing I will miss in this new Planet of the Apes movie. I will miss Andy Serkis.
Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to touch on. Like, why is he not in this?
Yeah, because I assumed he was going to be the Roddy McDowell of this series, and I don't know if they just wanted to do something else. It's not even like he's playing. It's not like he didn't even have to play the hero.
Not even have him in it at all.
Even just to play any other characters. I don't know. It's a good question. I do not know. Because, yeah, the hero ape in this is a younger guy. He's a younger ape, I guess. And it's somebody else playing the main villain dude, I assume, Proxima. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it. But
wasn't there something else that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, some upcoming merch?
Well, the writers and producers and stuff?
The writer's different. The producers look like it's the exact same production team from all three.
That's a good sign.
Previous ones. Joffy, Silver, and a couple others.
That is a very good sign.
But it looks like all the same producers from all three of the previous films. I wanted to talk about one piece of merchandise that's coming out we talked about many years ago. I kind of fantasize wish list. The three of us love playing role-playing games, and a company, Magnetic Press, Magnetic Press is doing the classic era Planet of the Apes role-playing game.
Yes.
And holy
cow. Very excited for this.
I cannot wait for this thing to come out. We're getting, you go to magneticpress.com. They're releasing a core rule book. It's going to be 300 plus pages. They're doing a source book called the ANSA files. And then if you buy the Forbidden Zone box set, you get the core book, the source book, you get the Game Master screen, and a set of miniatures. And the miniatures look pretty cool.
Oh, the miniatures look beautiful. One thing that I read about this too, and I'm very excited about. Mm-hmm. So back in the 80s, early 90s, I was a big fan of a company that's now since gone away.
With exactly what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm. West End Games.
Yes.
I did not know that there are game companies out there that still use the old West End Game D6.
Yes.
Dice, whatever you call it. I'm very excited about that because I played the Star Wars.
Yes.
Role-playing game, some of the Indiana Jones role-playing game. It was a very fun way to play. It's a little bit different than the D20 system that you see in D&D and such.
Well, I remember even before Star Wars, back in the 80s when West End first came out, I had the Ghostbusters role-playing game.
Oh, yeah. I remember them having other franchises.
It was a D6. It was a very simple, very user-friendly. It's one of the easiest role-playing games. It's kind of too simple, but it was the D6 system, and it was so much fun.
Now, when you had it, do you remember? Because one of the things that I bought was the box set for the Indiana Jones. And it came with a booklet called the Master.
Yeah, that was a different system. That was a system called Masterbook.
Masterbook.
Yes, that wasn't the West End D6.
It was West End Games because it came.
Oh,
in,
it was.
It was
you're
in
right.
the box set.
It was a West End
with
game.
The Indiana Jones
right.
West
you're
End
right.
game.
Nope. As soon as you said that, you're right. That was put out by West End,
which was an interesting.
It was
take.
A different system, though.
Well, it still was D6 based.
I think it. Yes. Yes, it was.
But what was cool about it is it would allow you to be able to create your own games.
Yes.
Like it gave you a different, different.
Because Masterbook was the core book, a generic core book, and Indiana Jones was kind of a flavor of that core book.
Right.
And you could kind of create other things in the Masterbook system. Like what they tried to do with D20, I guess.
Well, it's the same thing with. I was going to say It was the same thing with D&D, open game license that they had. And, I mean, was it Pathfinder operates on an open source license? And like anyone can utilize those systems.
That's why I'm kind of hoping this, because we get Planet of the Apes. We're going to have a core book and a source book. I don't know what's, and it's going to cover the first five classic movies, which that opens up, endless possibilities, multiple time periods. It would be nice if I'm hoping it's compatible with some other D6 stuff that you can bring in. Because if you're playing, say, an Escape from Planet of the Apes scenario, it's going to be a more of a modern day area. You're going to want stats on taxi cabs and restaurants and generic characters and policemen and cars. If you're playing in Conquest, you can kind of tailor it a little more that way. If you're playing in Battle for the Planet of the Apes, it's a little more post-nuclear. Right after the bomb drops, and then of course Planet of the Apes, and then anything else you want to. I mean, your imagination is you can do whatever you want in Planet of the Apes, which is the beauty of role playing games. But
yeah, I like when it's kind of open to where you can. There's really no limit to what you can do. The current Star Wars game that I'm playing, it has a book similar to that called Genesis.
What? Who's doing Star Wars? Is that still Age of the Empire?
It was Fantasy Flight.
Yeah.
Fantasy Flight. It looks like they pretty much lost the Star Wars rights to it.
Which is every company that's ever had Star Wars. They get it for a little while. They put out a few books.
That and
then they
Star
lose the
Trek,
license. Same as Star
two.
Trek.
Yep. I'm hoping that, they get to keep the Planet of the Apes franchise and be able to, expand on it. I would love to see a source book on the TV show.
Oh, that's That'd a whole other. I mean, that's the West Coast story. You get the structure of the West Coast, the prefects, the villages, you can pretty much create your own village, your own society, your own prefect, and have your characters go there And I'm assuming with the role-playing game, you're going to have apes, humans, chimps, gorilla soldiers, human, like maybe native humans of the time period, time-traveling astronaut humans.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a mutant human from underground, I guess you could be that, I hope.
I will say, like, some of the stuff I was reading, it said that exactly.
I mean, that's you take all the classes you can have.
Yeah, you can either races. Be the different classes of apes, orangutan, all that. And you can also be a human, like the, you know, you could even, they even put in there, you can be the mutants.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So,
if you go around with, then you have all the rules for all the telepathic and.
Now, here's the thing. Attacks. When you're playing with a group of people, you're going to have to pick kind of, okay, because you can't have like an ape character and an astronaut character and like a mutant all be in the same party.
It would be interesting. I don't know. I think you could. Man. It would take some creative role playing to make that bunch of a motley crew. I mean, because D&D, I mean, it's one of the fun things about, you can have elves and all sorts of radically different species come together. And I mean, there's other role playing games that do it. I'm sure Shadowrun has really wacky, all sorts of crazy characters that can come together for a party.
Oh yeah.
I think it'd be kind of, I actually, now that you say that, that I would love to see a role-playing party that's made up of a mutant, maybe a time-traveling human and a ape soldier, a gorilla soldier, and somehow make that work. I think it could be done and be a lot of fun.
Sounds like a funny joke, too.
Yes.
A gorilla.
An ape, a mutant.
Yeah.
And a savage walk into a bar. And boom, you've got it. You've got a Planet of the Apes story right there.
I think that's kind of how all role playing sessions begin.
I think, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yep.
I think, yep.
But yeah, I am like totally excited about this. Like you said, it's been something that we have talked about.
Oh, we talked about it way back in the old show. How much we would love something like that.
I would like to think that some way they may have overheard us.
A seed was planted.
We take full credit, just so everyone knows.
I like to think a seed was planted way back when.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we've been recording for a while, so I think. I mean, any final thoughts before we wrap up? Just that we'll get back together in a couple of weeks after this thing comes out and we'll hash it out.
I will say it was really nice to be able to get back together with you guys and talk.
A little behind the scenes. We tried to do this remotely and it just was not working. And I was like, oh, the heck with it. I was like, Brody, if you're good, let's hop in the car and just go to Dan's. We're like, all right, let's do it.
My condition was coffee, so.
Which we had.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, but no, I'd like to get back to it. I'm definitely going to commit to making this a regular thing if you guys are.
Yeah. Once we do all our Kingdom episodes, we'll just go back and re-review the movies again. Mm-hmm. We got all those movies. I've had people email me what my thoughts are on the new Marvel comic series. I know you have the first graphic novel, Fall of Man. The role-playing game, I want to do whole episodes on that. I think I even have contacts of some of the writers on that, if we can get I might be able to squeeze out an interview maybe with some people I've met.
Well, we can also find out if it was really us that influenced them to make this.
They would never admit it.
That's true.
They'd go radio silent on that. But
they don't want to pay royalties?
No.
Yeah.
No. Hey. Hey, I'm just happy it's come out. That's all the payment I need is that now I'm getting the chance to role play in one of my favorite universes ever.
No, that is cool. I'm excited.
So, I want to do some episodes around the role-playing game for sure.
It sounds like it's different than D20, but I'd love to run a session. I would definitely.
I'm already outlining a character, even as we speak, in my head. Mm-hmm. So, I am.
You know, that would be an interesting show, just to see if each of us could predict what the other would create.
I'm pretty open. I think you guys could probably pick what I would like, but we'll see. We'll see. Considering who my favorite character of the entire franchise is.
Nova.
Yeah, Nova. Which Nova? War for the Planet of the Apes, Nova.
Sorry.
But wait, who knows? Maybe. Be another mute, savage shit. Woman running around.
I just blanked the actor that from Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
John Lithgow? Yeah. James Franco? Yeah,
thank you.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to run through. I was about to. My next one was going to be David Hewlett, yeah. Who we met.
Great guy, by the way.
Yes.
But no, was it not John Lithgow?
James Franco.
I'm forgetting his name as you were telling me it. that's definitely my favorite character.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Well, maybe other than the general from the failed Planet of the Apes remake.
Oh, General Fade.
Yeah,
from Tim Burton's.
Yeah, that would jump around and scream and swing by chandeliers.
Played by the great Tim Roth. I love that actor. But that's a whole other story. Maybe we'll pop that way. Well, no, we're going to do a re-review of Tim Burton's, and we'll have all fresh takes on that. So
I will say after 12 years of terribleness, that movie has gone up in my appreciation. I mean, at least it didn't like drag any of the legacy characters through the mud and humiliate them.
Much like what Tim Burton later did with Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other podcast.
it's just like a thing that happens now.
Yeah. But all right. I think we're looking forward to this. So when you Absolutely. Hear from us again, we will definitely be talking about our thoughts on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So until then, I'm Mark.
Dan.
And Brody.
And we'll be seeing you.